Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
All right. Welcome back to episode 9 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. It's your host, Julian. Before I go anywhere, call this number, 877-557-SWWP, to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. Forgive me for all the names I'm about to drop. I need a broom. I need a mop. I just thought that off top. That's pretty impressive. I just got back yesterday from Austin, Texas. And when I tell you, that was one of the most fun trips I've ever had. I truthfully mean it. I met some of the best comedians. I met some of my favorite musicians. And I really just want to spend a lot of time and talk through the week at hand. So let's dig in here. I fly out to Austin down in Texas way. First flight since all the problems with the flight, FAA, all the cuts, DEI, all the buzzwords that get people up in a scare. Not going to lie, that stuff kind of ate at me a bit. I was a little nervous getting on that flight. Not so much getting on the flight. It was just when we took off. I was just a little weary of any bump or friction where in the past that didn't matter. I just understand that's a part of flying. And it annoyed me that I let all those videos and doom scrolls of accidents and the constant outpour of every incident that happens on a flight. I'm upset with myself that I let that affect me. But yeah, it wasn't the smoothest ride. It was a little bumpy. And yeah, I kind of had that unsettling stomach. We would drop elevation and bounce up and down. And it was like the Tower of Terror when you have like that stomach sink. Yeah, so that was a little iffy. But we landed safely, got off, felt that humidity. Well, that Austin heat hit me immediately. Well, not too humid at this time of year, but it was about 75, 80 degrees. It was lovely. I needed it. And I get to where I'm staying. And that first night was chill. And then we go into day two, and I'm out there for some work stuff, and I'm doing an event with, it's pretty cool actually, it was with Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura in their vodka brand, Porosos. Shout out to those guys. And we had this amazing, beautiful home, supposed to be a three-day party at this Airbnb. Well, it's a home. It's a very nice home in a neighborhood that is, it's a residential neighborhood. So go to the house. Day one of the party is on Wednesday. It's supposed to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Go to day one. There's pool, obviously multiple bar setups, cold plunge, the leg sleeve things that athletes wear. There's a sauna, a jacuzzi, and it's a mix of everybody getting drunk and a bunch of wellness stuff. You can get a B12 vitamin shot. There was a masseuse on site. So you're just seeing all these different activities and all this stuff in the front yard throughout the home. Everyone was great. A lot of creators came through. Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura recorded a live podcast in the home, which was very cool. One of my good friends, Joaquin, DJed actually that event at the party, which is funny. I didn't know that was happening until that day. And after Bert and Tom record, I get some FaceTime with Tom, and we talk about television shows. I didn't know how big of a movie buff and how big of a show buff he was. Down there on site was KFC's from Barstool is friends with all these guys. So we were kind of moving around the party together, and he was introducing me to everybody, small talking, very good, great time. Tom, after our conversation, actually had to jet because he had to do a show in Sweden. So he wasn't able to stick around for the 3 days. He was like, I got to go. Like, lovely meeting you all. This was fun. I'm out. He had pieces. Bert, I don't know how many people here are familiar with Bert Kreischer. He's known as the Machine based on because of that's a moniker that he has. It's his best joke. And it's also it's like his most famous joke and is also just kind of who he is. He's a domineering presence. He can drink a lot. And he's always going to have his shirt off and be partying. And you hear a lot of stories and you hear a lot of like the fanfare and the stories from other comedians. And I saw it firsthand and holy shit, that is him to a T. So Bert, on the other hand, comes into like our room. We show him like what we're working on stuff. He's amazing. Loves it. and then he's in like a matching two-piece outfit with these like linen shorts and a linen top. The linen top's already open. He's got the gut pouring out. He's never without a cup in his hand. He's always got a drink. He ends up going into the sauna, and a friend of mine is in the sauna with him. He drinks 5 beers while he's in the sauna, gets out of the sauna, cold plunges, drinking in there. He goes into the pool, does a shoey where he pour a beer in a shoe and he chugs out the shoe. Bert throws back probably 15 to 20 drinks throughout the party. And he's just hanging with everybody. We're all talking. People are jumping off the roof and into the pool. It kind of got a little rowdy towards the end there. And then also side note, here's another wild name drop that this guy came. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with who Brian Johnson is. Brian Johnson is the man that created. He's the guy trying to live forever. And he's the guy that has been using his son's blood and taking his son's plasma since I believe he was 17 and transferring it to his own blood to make himself live forever. So he spends millions of dollars on this like health upkeep regimen that no one else is doing. And he was one of the guys that sold Venmo. So he's obviously very wealthy. He's an investor, an entrepreneur, all that good stuff. And his passion for data and longevity seemed to be his latest venture. He is very, it's the energy, like the aura, whether or not you knew who he was when he walked onto the property, you could tell something was up with him just based on how he carried himself and how he walked around. I talked to him briefly, and then I also sent to my friends, like my group chat, hey, yo, you guys never guess who I linked up with or met at this party. And then my one friend immediately sends me his latest Twitter post about his son and his dick data. And he measures how long he can stay hard comparatively to his son. And he was upset that his son's dick was harder than his for, I think, on average, 2 minutes longer. And he added his son. Like, this is public study. The poor kid is like 19 now. I would be fucking livid. But this is where we're at in the world. This is the stuff we need to know, is how hard a 47-year-old man can keep his dick comparatively to his son. So that was a quick side note. Anyway, we at the end of the night, hanging with KFC again, and Bert Kreischer comes up and he's like, "Hey, going to the mothership, let's go." And I'm like, "All right, like I can't say no to this." So me, KFC, and Lewis, a coworker of mine, end up going with Bert. We meet him at the mothership, and he beat us there. So he actually pops outside. And if you're not familiar, the Mothership is the new comedy club, not new anymore, but it's the comedy club in Austin, Texas that Joe Rogan owns. It's sold out every night. It's the most exclusive. I mean, you look at the legends that are in that city now, you can't, everything's sold out. There's not a moment there where there isn't someone that hasn't popped up on your newsfeed there at any given time. So Bert personally goes outside, grabs us, brings us in, and we immediately go to the bar. If you walk in on the left, there's a bar underneath, and it's, I don't know if it's exclusivity because it seemed like a public space, but the people that were in there, we walk in, and I immediately, first person I see is Tony Hinchcliffe, who can recognize his voice a mile away, shake his hand, briefly talk, not much, I don't know this guy, we're not here to talk business, just like talk nonsensicals, and then go about my time to the bar to go get a drink. At the bar, I look to my right, and it's fucking Shane Gillis and his girlfriend. So they're talking. I don't say anything, but you know, obviously, I'm like, okay, this is happening. A couple other comedians are down there, and then we have like a drink or two, and then Bert grabs us and goes, "Yo, let's go up to the green room." And Shane's like, "I'll go with you guys." So we all walk up the stairs into the green room. And if you're a Kill Tony fan, you know who Cam Patterson is, the guy that, if it was on Kill Tony, says, "I like rocks." He came, pulled out a rock from his pocket. Great clip, hilarious clip. Launched his whole career as a comedian. I believe he's from Florida. Dude is hilarious. Love Cam Patterson. Talked to him actually for quite a bit about basketball at the end of the night. Great guy. And his set was fantastic too that he did that night. So we're in the club. having some Bud Lights. Shane is KFC goes up to Shane, and Shane says, like, you know, KFC, you're one of the first guys that ever put me on camera, like, gave me like a fair shake, which was fucking awesome. You could hear like KFC was like, whoop, which was, it was a very funny moment. There's a rumor of this new joke that Shane's working on. I'm not here to spoil it, but basically, like, it's a story from him going to a Notre Dame football game with his dad, and his dad would bring a friend, and Shane and all of his kids that were in middle school, it was the story of how that trip went, which is all very true, and I'd say unfortunately true, because it's a wild story. It's like an 8-minute joke, and Shane smoked it, went out there and did it, and it crushed. Shane wasn't billed on the show, so on the mothership there's a balcony from the green room that you can sit on, so all of us were up there, like Bert, Nick KFC, myself, like all the other comedians, and Shane goes out to do a set, and he wasn't billed on the show that night, and I've never heard a crowd pop that loud when the comedian just finished and said, yeah, next comedian, you've heard him, you know him from Tires. That's all he said. And he goes, Shane Gillis. And you would have thought Michael Jackson just came out from behind that curtain. Shane just goes out there with like probably 10 Bud Lights in and just gets right into that story and just dominated the room. And then, of course, gets off stage, comes back up and goes, that went terrible, which obviously, I mean, look, his barometer, I'm sure he knows far better than I do, but it was amazing. Who else went up? Bert didn't go up. He was just there for the hang. But point is, that was night one, like going out. And it was so, so, so much fun. And I was just surrounded by all these comedians I love and respect. And just to be in that space, be at the mothership. And then I obviously scooted home at the end of the night because I love these damn scooters that were all over Texas. Well, night one at the house was so great that the police got involved in the HOA and the powers that be at South by Southwest, basically caught wind of what was going on and shut down the party the next 2 days, which is unfortunate because we did have such an amazing time the first night. It was such a big success. And like, I know a lot of like stuff happened, but it was never too loud. It was never, nothing got out of hand. There was no overpouring into the street. It was very, the whole home's fenced in. So there was none of like, it wasn't, no one got hurt. There was no reports or noise. So it sucks that happened. But from what I believe or what I was told is basically South by Southwest, when they catch wind of unsanctioned, like unofficial South by events, they get butthurt. And especially when the high profile names that were at this party were there, they'd much rather have them be at events that they're sponsored with South by. So they basically got involved and were like, this isn't happening. And if the homeowner lets this continue to happen, we'll actually take away, I guess, the guy just bought the house, just furnished it, and he just got it approved for Airbnb, and they were threatening to take away his Airbnb license, the HOA, not South by. So he basically said, look, like, we can't, we're shutting it down. So boom, house is still ours to hang out with. We actually go back day two. They still had catering there, so I had like some lunch. Also, night one, the catering for dinner was Michelin-starred omakase chef. That was just, they're making hand rolls in the kitchen and just handing you some of the best fish you've ever had. KFC tried his first omakase. It's so good. That was such a fun experience. So many details that we could go through with just the night one alone. But day two comes, and obviously we're at the club the previous night, and Bert tells Tony Hinchcliffe in person how awesome the party is, and that he should come back tomorrow. So now it's day two, and obviously the energy is very different. There's no DJ. There's no music at all. There's the woman from The Sopranos. Damn, it's really going to annoy me that I don't know her name. She comes and shoots a podcast because I guess she has a podcast as well. Sorry, I never watched The Sopranos, but I know she's a very big deal. She's gorgeous. And she shoots her podcast on site. But again, it's not a party environment. We're not there to like throw another, you know, rager, so to speak. But in walks Tony Hinchcliffe because Bert that previous night told him how great it was. And Bert's not even there, mind you. And neither is Tom. Tom's in Sweden at this point. So Tony walks in with his brother and it's like dead. And he's just looking around. He's like, house is sick. Obviously, we have like, you know, catering. He can see when you walk in, amenities. Like, it looks like they're setting up for a party. It just hasn't happened yet. And then I come down the stairs and he recognized me. Obviously, I know who he is. He recognized me from last night. He was like, oh, it's you. Shakes my hand. He's like, what's going on here? And I kind of get him up to speed that like it's not happening. So then he just being like a good hang, just comes up, hangs out with us. And then we go downstairs, stand by the pool. He's just like, you know, smoking some cigs. And his brother and I, his brother's older brother, we just start talking college football. We just start talking about NIL deals, sports in general, like the climate of student athletes, and with KFC and Tony. And it was just like a very chill, great, great conversation. Tony's someone that I have mixed feelings about. But in terms of being personable and like just like a good guy to just like shoot the shit with and just hang with, amazing. Also, same way I feel about Bert. I like personally, his comedy and comedy style is not for me. I think like in the art itself, but after meeting him and spending like extended time with him and talking with him and hearing him tell stories, and seeing him go out of his way to not only invite us to the mothership, but also accommodate us once we were there. There's people that you can understand, even if what they make isn't for you, you can understand why that they are so successful because of how they treat everybody, how big of a personality they have. Like at one point I had to take a phone call on day one of the party and I stepped outside the house to have this call. And there's music playing. There's like, you know, 100 or so people in the house. There's, you know, just noise, general noise. And above all that noise beyond the gate, you can just hear Bert's voice reverberating over everybody. It's just, he just has that presence. It's just, it has the it factor, so to speak, of like, he's just a dominating figure. So thank you to Bert. Bert was incredible. Amazing guy. He's working. He told us about a movie he was shooting, which I don't think I can get too into, but you should be seeing a lot of Bert happening soon. He also gave a girl a tattoo at that party, her very first tattoo. This cute young, like mid-20s girl was like, okay. And Bert just like free hands it with like his stomach out. And he's just like, blah, blah. But actually he did like a four-leaf clover and it actually isn't terrible. But point is, the comedy experience with these guys in Austin was fantastic. I did not meet Rogan. Shane told us some stories in the green room, which were hilarious. He's on his stopping by in New York for a night and then going to London to do some shows. I geeked out, I nerded out, and I had a very good time with the comedians. Also, while I was there, obviously a lot of musicians, music friends are in town. The Pangea guys were kind of my sponsors throughout the week in terms of night events once the the work comedy hours shut down. And we're at this spot called Coconut Club, and at the top of these stairs, I see the back of a head, and I'm like, oh my God, that's Jameson. Which, if you know me, you know how much I love Jameson's one of my favorite artists. He has that viral song, Soft Spot, which really put him on the map globally, which is amazing. I'm so happy for him. But if you're not familiar, do your due diligence, go to his back catalog, experience his music. He's in my personal top five, and he has been since, I believe, 2016. When It Is came out, and then 2017, Whatever Makes You Happy came out. That album is top to bottom flawless. Go up to him, like reintroduce myself. And at this time I'm there with Ali, Mixed by Ali, and my buddy Luke. They just did a panel out there. So we're all out together. And Jameson and I talk, and he's like, yo, you just missed my show tonight, but like come tomorrow. Like, here, you know, here's my manager. Let's make sure you're all accommodated for tomorrow. Awesome. So that's that next night comes around, go to Jameson's show. He kills it. He was out there because the state of Michigan was showcasing talent from Michigan over a 2-day period there at South By. And he was the headliner of both of these shows. And it was fucking awesome. I got to, you know, hang out with him backstage. We talked about what stuff he's working on and got into like his new sounds and new creative direction. And then he goes out on stage, does an amazing show. Takes a half beat for an encore. We come back, hang out for a minute. It goes back out, rips encore, bout it's the encore record. Place goes crazy. Comes back out. Then we just like hang out at the bar at the venue. He goes out, signs some vinyls, meets some people, takes some photos, and we just hung. And he's got some shows coming up in New York later this year that I plan on definitely going to at least one of those. But just exactly what you'd want from a guy like that. Just like fun, obviously, undeniably one of the best musicians out right now. But it was just like that. That was the energy throughout the course of the week, was just me going out, running into people that I know, and then kind of figuring out, hey, like, you know, what are you doing later? How's this going to go here? I went to the post iHeartMedia had their podcast awards. I went to the after party for the podcast awards, ran into quite a few people that I knew there. A girl that I knew from like 2017 when I first moved to New York, that was working with an artist that I knew at the time. Now she's like a well-known comedian and has her own show. It was just like one of those environments where everywhere I turned, everywhere I looked, there was someone that I knew in from years past or recently. I hung out with Black Odyssey, was there. Duckworth, I saw him for a bit as well. But the expectation was high going into that week. I didn't expect it to exceed everything I had thought. And I do want to apologize, because I know I saw some of the comments from last episode, people saying you have to change your thoughts about Texas. You're always critical of the South, which is true. I am very critical of the South for good reason, I think. This trip made me, and I know it's rare like occurrence, I know this isn't an every week instance in Austin. I know that I lived a very different experience than the usual week there. But this changed my perception of that, not that city. I've always had a good time in Austin, but I guess of the South, just really that city, because it's not fair to say the South's great. I just loved a week I spent in Austin. The weather was great. It was early enough in the year that we didn't get the mugginess of Texas. Like, it was just pure like 75, 80. It got a little hot, like a couple of days direct sunlight. But other than that, I mean, it was great. All these DJ events were outside. Jameson's show was an outdoor show. Like, these podcast awards after party was outside. It's like I spent a lot of time outside, but it was comfortable at all times. I didn't need a jacket at any point. I was rolling around in T-shirts. Stopped by my buddy's store, Koyo. Shout out to Koyo at Politics. Got their new collab with ASICS and a couple T-shirts. Like, it was everything I'd want and more. And I got a lot of new phone numbers, a lot of new contacts, people that I will connect with. And hopefully have some of them on this show, but if not, work on stuff with them off camera. It was a very, very exciting and overwhelming weekend. I had the last night I was in Austin, there was a creator that I've been working with named Zach Justice, very funny kid. And he had myself and a coworker of mine, he invited us to this event at this home called it's gonna bother me. What's the name of the house? It's literally a piece of art. It starts with a B. I'm gonna look it up right now. But basically, I didn't know Austin, Texas had like a Hollywood Hills equivalent. We're driving out to this home, and we're winding through Bloom House. That's the name of the house. Bloom House. Check it out. Bloom House is the most Airbnb'd home in the country, I know for a fact, but I believe in the world, from what they said. The owner that owns the home only has like access to the home 14 days out of the year. It's rented the rest of the time, and it's rent for $800 a night. So you do the math. I think he's doing all right. I think the house is printing money at this point. The home is a piece of art. Like, it's not functional for a family. I'll put some photos here. It looks like either a grouping of mushrooms, or it looks like something skeletal that it could be like a dinosaur artifact. The inside is gorgeous. Everything is intentional. Like the way all the shelving is actually carved into the home. There's no like external, you know what I mean? Like, there's no external things that stick out into the wall. It's all sunken into the wall, which is gorgeous. Everything's just carved out. There's open spaces. There's negative spaces. It overlooks this cliff in the backyard. There's an outdoor shower situation, which is gorgeous. It's very open concept, very free-flowing, but all meticulous and intentional with every single curve of the house, especially at night when they cast the lights and these shadows are kind of pinging all over. It's beautiful. But that was another event where there was a private chef from Mexico City. Shout out to him. He's the man. I talked to him for a long time. Ate some of the best food I've ever had in Austin, for sure. He made everything himself, from the braising the steak for 5 days down to the homemade mango sorbet, his own grown fennel on this like beet thing. I love food, and that was the best food I've had in a long time. But yeah, I didn't know Austin had its own Hollywood Hills. It's called Westlake, and this is basically where Rogan and like all those guys live. I thought I was on Mulholland Drive or going through Laurel Canyon. I mean, the homes are insane, and I see where all the wealth in Texas spends their time. It's one of those gated communities, windy roads rolling through the hills, homes built, carved into the side of the hill. It just doesn't look like it should belong there, but it doesn't look as dangerous as it does in LA because it's not as steep. As steep as a grade, and it's also not on like a earthquake fault line. And the actual greenery, it's more lush. There's a lot more, it's not as desert climate as LA, so they actually have a lot more trees and in shade and covering. But it was beautiful. That was my first time in that part of Austin, the rich hills part. So I experienced a lot, and I truthfully had an amazing trip. I'm excited to connect with everybody that I met there and forward these relationships. While I was there, there were a lot of, I didn't realize how much, obviously, Elon's influence in Texas with his like company, I guess his company being down there, I guess I should have known this going into it. Nearly everybody drives a Tesla. And there's Teslas everywhere, and then there's Waymo cars. And the Waymo cars are the cars that drive themselves, which I took issue with. Not a big fan of those, to be honest. I didn't like looking into a car or waiting to cross a crosswalk and just looking into a driver's seat, no one. A passenger seat, no one. Two rear seats, no one. And then you just look at the car itself, and there's a bunch of spinning objects, cameras, like a what looks like a rudder in the back, kind of flapping, who knows what, the sensor for something. And it's just, I don't know, maybe this is the point where I become the old guy, the old head, but it didn't do it for me. I don't, that stuff doesn't excite me, because I don't know, maybe I'm odd for that. But I don't have those in New York. We don't have those here. So to see them, not just experience them, but to see them everywhere, was a little jarring. And then I was told that they're you can book them through Uber. They're a little more expensive than your average Uber ride. But people, you know, book them for the tourist angle. I guess they're safe. They do a good job. They get you from A to B. But people like to get in the back and then just kind of film the fact that there's nobody in the front of the car. Would I do that? No. I'm saying this now, but I'm sure like next week I'll be in a Waymo. I just don't have any plans to doing that. I was very content walking where I could walk, because Austin's not that much of a walking city, but scootering as much as I can. Scootering is definitely my favorite mode of transportation if it's not walking. I think I like having the air and the breeze of being outside. I don't like the confines of a car, especially when I'm not in control. I'm not a big fan of driving myself. But I like the scooter because I can kind of do and move freely. And you don't have to, you have to respect the rules of the road, but not to the extent of a car. You still kind of have like your freeness to kind of, you know, cut turns early or go if you have a red, but there's no cars coming. I just kind of like moving to that, like that. So while I was in Austin, a couple of conversations did happen actually with Tony Hinchcliffe and his brother. We're talking about Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, and certainly, sure enough, a couple days later, she posted these photos of them at the beach. Now, Bill is a smooth 50 years older than her. Spring break for him, probably at that time when he was a kid, meant to go work on the farm or go enlist in the fucking Vietnam War or do something that was contributing to society, not just get fucked up on a beach in Fort Lauderdale or evade cops in Myrtle Beach or Jersey City or wherever the hell people spring break, not Jersey City. No one goes there. These photos are, I mean, what can you say about this guy at this point? Talk about someone that's really on truly I don't give a fuck mode. Bill Belichick is out here doing yoga poses. I don't think Bill Belichick's ever laid on his back. I think he sleeps standing upright. The guy's a vampire and a sloth at the same time. I want to make fun of him. Like, my core wants to shit on him. But he's living like the twilight years of his life. I know he's supposed to be retired, but he's taking back coaching again. They're happily moving in together in Chapel Hill. Fine. But I like that he's in, like, I don't give a fuck mode. And he's also letting her parade him all over her Instagram, which is very, very, very funny to me that she's out here on spring break doing all these poses, showing off, you know, her body. And Bill's just like, just there for the ride, man. And I think if she plays this smart, Bill's 75. Let's give him another 20 years. 85. Say he goes till 95. He's not the healthiest guy out there, and he works pretty hard. Let's give him 90, 85. Fuck it. Let's give him 10 more years. 15, 90. She's only 24, so she'll be sub 40. If she carries this enough to weasel her way into the will, I mean, this girl, she's the modern day Anna Nicole. I mean, this could be, we were laughing at them, we're giggling and ha-ha, ki-ki-ki. They're both getting what they want. He's happy, you know, just parading her around. And she's in it 10 years of hard work, 10 years of dealing with him and him coaching and showing him off on Instagram. She's putting in hard work. These are the tough years. These are the build years, the grind years. She will sail off into the sunset with all that Patriots money. She can take all of his cut hoodies and either keep them as sentimental tokens or post them on eBay or Grailed and make a killing off of those things. I'm sure she'll even get a Super Bowl ring or two out of this. She could just open up a museum of all his old shit and charge people $10. I think she's good for life because of this seemingly, like, whatever shill of a relationship this is. But can't knock it, man. I mean, they're going down to a college town. They're going to be on Chapel Hill. I'm pretty sure Brady's going to try to broker that deal to get Bill back in Vegas. The contract in North Carolina basically is like, yeah, we'll pay you whatever you want, and you can also leave whenever you want. So that's pretty nice situation for him once he's ready to get the hell out of there, which I wouldn't be surprised if things don't go well in Vegas in week whatever and Brady uses his one call to get Bill back in the field. I could see that happening. So excited to keep an eye out in this relationship. Love is love. I'm happy for them. I want a love like this. This looks adorable. Could I fall for a woman that's 50 years my senior? Hell fucking no. But I think for some reason we give this a pass. I also learned, I didn't know this, that he was helping her on a plane with her math homework. He was basically tutoring her, which is sick and disgusting on a whole nother level. But he was tutoring her and then gave her his number when they parted ways on the plane. But that is like a meet cute. That's like really in real life meeting someone. It's not like he met her on a dating app. Could you imagine Bill on Hinge? That'd be crazy. That'd be a fucking sick profile. Who knows? Maybe they're into couples. Maybe they are on Hinge or something as a couple together. Who's to say? I'll keep an eye out. Look, love is love. Keep going, guys. I'm excited to see Bill back in coaching mode, though. I think all this lovey-dovey shit and all these posts are going to slow down once he's got this UNC program. And he's ready to lock in and bring these guys back to relevancy. Let's pivot to far more serious news. The biggest Newsweek story over the week was the wrongful arrest of Muhammad Khalil, who is a Syrian-born Palestinian student at Columbia University. Like, at least in 1964 with the Gulf of Tonkin, the attack happened, but our government exaggerated and made it seem far worse than it was. And at least that was like, boom, there's our catalyst. Let's go into the war. We're even losing the art of lying to the American public. We're so far past the just cause to go do something. Now, because Trump wants to move like a dictator, he's just doing things because he wants them to get done. It's not a matter of this protects our people. This is in the betterment of the American people, our citizens, and the greater cause to preserve democracy. It's like, I'm doing this because I want to, and the people that work under me are going to do anything that I say. Therefore, move forward, get this guy, detain him, and we'll just figure out what we want to do with him after. But Mr. President, What are the charges? What is he being persecuted with? Can you tell us any more information? We don't need to. Fuck you guys. Fuck the journalists. We don't owe anybody an explanation. That's a very, very scary place to be in. I know a lot of people that if you may be pro-Israeli or pro-Zionist, you're like, this is great. This is beautiful. This isn't good. It's not good for you either. What they're doing mirrors the very thing that happened to you and your ancestors. It's just shitty patterns revealing themselves and becoming true again today. No one should be celebrating this, no matter what side you fall on. I've seen bad things happen to people that I don't like. But if that bad thing happens to them in a way that wasn't justified, that shouldn't make you happy. That's not worth a cause for celebration. It's a cause for concern. And I'm very, very concerned with people. Well, obviously, Muhammad and his wife, who's due any time. Now she has this stress, and this baby's going to be born into a fucked up, broken family and a country that they're not even welcomed in, and all that stress that does to her womb itself. And we're just continuing to compound generational trauma and pain. And I feel like it's symbolic that as I'm going down this rant, there are sirens just in the background. And I don't care to wait for them to pass. I'm just going to keep going. The not even to mention, I mean, the children in Gaza, they're the biggest victims here. What is it, like 70% of the people in Gaza are like under 14, or some statistical anomaly that's just like baffling. And it's just Bill Burr's new special. He said it perfectly. I was just watching it yesterday. He's saying the people of Gaza, you know, well, they're going to be kids that die. There's going to be casualties. He's like, that doesn't have to be the case. Fucking work around them. You don't punch. He said the comparison he said is if I get in an argument with my neighbor and he's holding his kid, I don't punch the baby to then hit the neighbor. You fucking throw a hook. You work around the kid. And there's no urgency, and there's no reason to not kill from our government. There's no justification, and there's no reason why. Why shouldn't we just kill these kids? Why not? They're in the way. They're bad people. They're not human. They're subhuman to the Israeli soldiers, to the people that our government's been funding. Like, it's disgusting, and unfortunately, it's not going to end anytime soon. I think that piece of land is one of many steps, that one of many dominoes that are going to fall. And once you've convinced a group of people, and once you've convinced a military group that the people you're stealing from and killing aren't human, we don't see them as human, it's a very, very, very dangerous place to operate from, because life becomes secondary to the new mini mall that's going to go up. Life becomes secondary to and everything. You'll prioritize a new high rise over human life. And it's very disheartening. And I'm very scared for the people here that have been vocal on behalf of Gaza in a public light, and how they may get persecuted here for no reason. And that is a direct attack on our freedom of speech and against our constitution, the very constitution that a certain political party loves to say they jerk off to every night. So it's just odd how you can false flag and claim one thing, but your actions are just directly in the opposite direction. All right, it's that part of the episode. Let's get into some voicemails. As a reminder, please call this number, 877-557-SWP, to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. Let's get into today's voicemail.
Yo, what up, Julian? What up? Let's see. So I recently connected with a homie I went to high school with. We went out a couple times to the bars, did our thing. The first time I noticed that he kind of talks to himself. And that was, you know, the first time it was kind of subtle. It was a little bit kind of weird, but like, you know, he wasn't doing it too much. The second time I hung out with him, I don't know if it was because he got, you know, comfortable or, you know, the more we drank, the more pronounced it got. But it got to be to where it was almost like there was a third person in our interaction. We would talk, and then there would be a brief pause, and then he would turn his head and talk to himself. And this kind of went on the entire night. And it got more pronounced as, you know, as the drinks started flowing. And I'm just wondering, do I bring it up? Because, you know, I got no problems with it. You know, we all got our things. We all got, you know, stuff we do, you know, nervous tics, whatever. But do I bring it up and just, like, you know, say I notice it, or like ask what that's all about? Or do I kind of just like, you know, ignore it and just kind of let him do his thing and just, you know, accept it as what it is and move on? You know what I mean? It's just a little awkward, I guess. Not that he's doing it, but that he's doing it and then I haven't acknowledged it, in my opinion.
Got you.
You know, I'm just looking at like, what should I do? Should I, like I said, should I bring it up or should I just move on? Either way, we have good interactions. He's a homie for real. And just wondering, you know, what exactly you would do in this situation. All right, man. Peace.
Well, thanks for calling in, man. I have a few questions. Is what he's saying concerning? Like, what's the matter? What's he saying in the self-talk? Is it harmful stuff? He's like, I'm gonna fucking kill that person. I wanna fuck that girl. Like, is it to that degree, or is he doing positive self-talk? I did a little Googling here. And general from Medical News Today is talking to yourself healthy. Self-talk may have several benefits, unless the person experiences other systems like mental health conditions or hallucinations. Let's see. So a lot of this is focused on like self-talk during tasks. So like if I'm working out, I would use that as an example, and I'm like, all right, one more, you got this. I guess that's more normal acceptance. I'm trying to think in terms of being out and drinking. That's odd. Well, not odd. I think that's interesting because it is, you can make the assumption that when he drinks, it kind of reveals itself more. So there's something underlying here where the alcohol is the catalyst for him to be comfortable doing it more outwardly in public. I would, as a friend of his, I would be curious to know, what is he saying? Can you make out what he's saying? Is he saying stuff that is a cause for concern? I would say that's step A. If it's just like mumbo, no, jumbo, just like ramblings, which they say, I guess, according to this other Google that I made, a study found that 25% of adults self-talk out loud. While internal dialogue is common, they say a study found that 96% of adults report having ongoing internal dialogue, while 25% adults have outward. So he could just be in that 25%. Yourself, I'm sure, as myself, I have internal dialogue. He just might be one of those few that has out external dialogue. I would focus on more of what he's saying. Is it bad? Is it good? If you are comfortable enough with him, I'm sure he's talked about it before in the past with someone. I'm sure it's something that someone's asked him about. I have weird shit going on with me, and I have friends that also have weird tics or noises or like shakes and shit. And when I'm comfortable enough for them, or if the timing's right, then I will. It's not, and by the way, it's not calling them out about it. It's just like, you're a friend. You're curious. You want to know what the deal is. Like, hey, man, like, I noticed you know, you could do it in that regard. You don't have to be like, yo, bro, what the fuck did you just say? You can be like, hey, man, like, I noticed, you know, when the last few times we've gone out, I've, you know, just heard you, like, you know, talking, checking in, like, were you talking to me, or was that, you know, you could even play it off like that. Like, hey, are you talking to me, or were you talking to yourself? You sound like your heart's in the right place. You don't want to offend him, which I think is the priority here. You don't want to make him feel like what he's doing, although it is, I guess you could say it is odd. You don't want to make him feel like what he's doing is wrong or a cause for concern with regards to your friendship, because it's not. You're not saying it. You're not making it out to be at all. But I would vibe check it. If you do address it, if you do bring it up, maybe do it in a setting where it's just the two of you. Or you said he's a friend from high school. If you have other mutual friends in that group or other people that you're reconnecting with, maybe one of them knows what the deal is. And you could ask them, like, hey, have you noticed the homeboy you know, four beers in, he starts a little side conversation with himself. Maybe one of them has already had that conversation with them, and you could get some clarity from them. And then you also have to weigh this, like, how much more peace is it going to give you to know this? If you do a little bit of research like I just did, people talk to themselves, sometimes outwardly, in some cases. He could just be one of those guys. If you fuck with him as a friend, and if you like you're spending time together, like, is this interfering with you guys meeting girls? Is this interfering with you guys getting laid? I understand in your dynamic, it might be like, oh, shit, like, you don't want to be looked at as like I'm hanging with the weird guys talking to himself. But if you really fuck with him and that's your homie, then that shouldn't be of concern. Like, if that's my guy, then whatever, man. Like, do your thing. I have friends that do weird shit. I do weird shit. So if you're cool with it, man, just like let it rock. And yeah, do your research. And I would listen to what he's saying, because I think that could give you some insight. And is it only happening when he's drinking? You keep saying when he's drinking. I'm curious if this is just like a secondary symptom of him when he's inebriated. And maybe while he's drinking isn't the best time to have that conversation. If you do address it, maybe bring it up when you guys are sober. Underrated value in having sober conversations with your friends. Not everything that's deep needs to be done when you guys are like a half a 40 in, or, you know, three quarters of the way through a bottle of vodka. You can have real conversations as men without being fucked up. It's true. It's funny, my friend Boz put out an album called We Only Talk About Real Shit When We're Fucked Up. I remember that inception when he was creating that idea, which is true for most men. We like to have these conversations when we're hammered at like 4 or 5 a.m. at the end of the night. And I remember having those conversations with him in particular and our other friends, and then deciding, like, for myself that I don't want to have those. I don't want to make those moments only capable when I'm drunk, because I myself have cut back a lot on my alcohol consumption. It's like, I want us as grown men to also be able to have these conversations that may be difficult or uncomfortable sober, like at each other's apartments or at a coffee shop in the afternoon. Like, not everything needs to happen at the club with women around, or, like, you know, at the end of the night when we're, you know, just on some other shit. You can really get to know your friends and loved ones on a Sunday afternoon, you know, sharing tea. So good luck to you, man. I looked up your area code. You are in Florida. A lot of weirdos down there. So it could just be, you know, could have gotten nibbed by an alligator when he was younger. Could just be drinking some of that weird. You could be drinking out of the lake every once in a while. Who knows, man? I'm good. Glad you guys are reconnected. Keep the friendship going, man. This guy sounds fine. I think you're fine. And if it's a cause for concern, just, you know, ask him about it when you guys aren't drinking. I think that's probably your best option. All right. Guys, it's been a hell of a week. Shout out to all the beautiful and good people in Austin that I connected with, that are my good friends that I ran into, and the people that I was actually able to meet along the way. Nothing but great things to say about Austin, at least for the time being. Excited to get back on the road and travel around. I do have some fun things planned. Hopefully I will be shooting in another location on one of these trips. But yeah, guys, it's Tuesday. The week is just starting. Have a blessed and beautiful week. I love you, and you will hear from me soon. Cheers.